Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I want to talk about an interesting subject, and that's the idea of going back to work in order to take a vacation from parenthood. So I know some of you guys are thinking, what am I talking about? You don't go to work to go on vacation. You go on vacation because you're sick of work. Well, I'm telling you all this. I had no idea being a full-time father was this difficult, save for being a full-time mother. Not enough credit is given to those full-time parents, I've got to say. So if you have a spouse at home who is a childcare provider, really, really give them props when you come home today and just give them a big hug and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, because it is a lot of work. When I left corporate America, you know, I realized after several years that entrepreneurship is much harder than a day job. And now that I've been a full-time father for over a year, I realize that being a full-time father is much harder than entrepreneurship. And therefore, having a job, a day job, is literally like a walk in the park in comparison. As a stay-at-home dad to a newborn, you realize why sleep deprivation is an effective torture technique used by the CIA. You also experience mini heart attacks on a regular basis, probably a daily basis actually, once they start moving. You know, initially they start crawling and sometimes they torpedo and then they bonk their head and they start crying. And then when they start walking, I mean, it's just out of control how many times they'll stumble or hit their head on a wall and whatnot. You also physically endure pain in your knees and, in my case, my lower back, as you're constantly on the ground trying to see eye to eye with at their level so you can build a relationship and play with them. Also, your patience is tested as you read the same old books over and over again. You've got to do the same old dexterity exercises, you know, the pincher grasp, stacking blocks, putting things away and so forth. And you've got to use all this sign language to help them learn and develop. Then, of course, there's the diaper changing and the temper tantrums and the crying. And as they get older, you know, because of an underdeveloped cerebrum, which is part of the brain that is responsible for logic and reasoning, there is no logic and reasoning. But I've got to say that despite all the difficulties of being a stay-at-home parent, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It is unbelievable to watch your little one grow up right in front of your eyes. They grow up so fast. And you know, the joy I get from seeing my little one walk like a zombie with a big smile on his face as I enter the room to come give me a hug is priceless. There's literally nothing that I would give up. However, as I mentioned in a previous post and podcast, it's important to forecast our misery so we can stay happier. I'm now in my second year of fatherhood full-time, and I can see myself lasting 2 years. But beyond 2 years, I'm not so sure if I can stay in the house 24/7 anymore. You know, book after book has said that the first 2 years are the most important developmental years in a child's life. The brain triples in size from birth to age 2 and reaches about 75% of a typical adult's brain size. Therefore, to be present as much as possible during these first 2 years seems like a really good idea, because if your child becomes a problem child in the future, at least you know you gave it your best. But today, I'm not really sure if I can last much longer than 2 years as a stay-at-home dad. You know, I've begun to experience occasional heart arrhythmia from the pressures of simultaneously running a business and helping take care of my son. I've gained 5 pounds from the lack of exercise and constant food delivery because we just don't have any time or energy to cook as much anymore. And finally, as it's no longer as easy to make money from my investments as the markets stall out, suddenly I've begun to feel the full force of being a sole provider. And you know, it's just weird. I don't know what it is. It's maybe biological, it's just self-induced pressure or whatnot. But when you don't have a spouse that works and you have a dependent depending on you who also cannot work, there's this pressure that really builds up inside. So knowing myself and talking to other people, I think it's clear that a way to unwind before a breakdown happens is to find a solution away from the house, outside of the house. And I think that solution is taking a year-long vacation or more by going back to work. You know, all my friends find fatherhood to be relatively easy because they have full-time jobs. You know, they go to their jobs and they come back and there's their kid, and they didn't have to take too much care of their kid because they're busy making the money. They get to focus on making money for the family instead of making money for the family and taking care of the child. It's like working two jobs. I also know a lot of mothers who, after 3 months, they go back to work and they send their kids to childcare. The spouse mostly works, but sometimes they're lucky to have a stay-at-home husband or partner. So I've thought of a number of reasons why going back to work could be the perfect vacation. And here are 8 reasons that I've come up with. So 1, there's a nice long and peaceful commute. In the past, commuting was my number one reason why I hated going to work since leaving work in 2012. However, ride-sharing costs from likes of Uber and Lyft have come down about 50% since. So I'd just be taking a Uber pool or a direct car to work. You know, I'll sit in the car for 30 minutes, I'll unwind, I'll just daydream or sleep, or just listen to music, maybe a podcast, or just consume mindless information on my phone. I mean, it's just a nice way to just take a break, right? And that's 30 to 40 minutes each way, so that's an hour to hour and a half of total break time. 2, easier work objectives. You know, when I worked in banking, there was a constant pressure to bring in the most amount of revenue, to always be the top 3 ranked in the industry, even though there were like 50 competitors. So that was really, really stressful. And that's all I really knew for 13 years. And when I did some consulting for several financial tech startups, I realized this pressure was not normal that I had experienced in the past. You know, startups were supposed to be fast-paced, high pressure and all that, but what I discovered was it was way less pressure, much chill, much more chill environment, and just people were just much nicer. And as a result, I believe I can go back to almost any industry, any environment, and not feel the same amount of pressure that I felt in banking. 3, nice water cooler conversations. You know, at work, they say, yo, you work 8 hours, 10 hours a day, but nobody really works a full day, right? They take bathroom breaks, smoke breaks, coffee breaks, long lunch breaks. They have company outings. You know, it's no wonder why I found it much easier to get 3 times more done in the same amount of time working for myself at home than working in the office. So I think if I return to work, I'll be much more efficient. And given I've been used to doing 3x more on average, I'll probably be able to save 60% of my time by just doing a full day normal job, right? So the 67% of free time I can use to spend running errands downtown or going out with really awesome folks for lunches or ball games, and maybe spend the time at the gym working out. I really don't think that I will need a full, 10-hour day to get 10 hours worth of stuff done. I think I can get that stuff done in 3 to 4 hours. 4, holiday parties and boondoggles. I'm always envious of friends who get to go, to their work team outings. You know, they go to the Giants game or Warriors game. You know, they have great fancy holiday parties. I love attending those parties. It's just so fun to see colleagues get drunk and, talk crap about each other and, say the wrong things. I mean, it just goes on and on. And it's just part of being a family and part of being a group that I really miss so much. And so that leads me to 5. I think with the exposure to more colleagues, you'll have a better social life because you'll get to know more and more people. I'm a relatively extroverted person, so I enjoy spending time meeting people that are interesting, are cool and share some common interests. And I have a feeling it's much harder being a stay-at-home parent if you are an extrovert versus an introvert. You know, for example, my wife is an introvert and she has no problem staying at home every day for a week without going crazy. Whereas for me, after about a day, I start getting kind of grouchy and just I really need to get out of the house. So joining a workforce elevates my chance of having a better social life. And I think having a better social life is going to lead to a longer and happier life. 6, I think going back to work is a great way to optimize time. So when I started Financial Samurai in 2009, I was still working full time. So I would just work on the site in the mornings and after I came back from work. And it felt awesome to be able to earn money from a day job and earn money from a side hustle. So now the side hustle is the big hustle. It's the main thing. But because it's so developed, Financial Samurai, I don't have to put as much work into gaining any momentum anymore because it's kind of like a super tanker that just goes with a minimal amount of work now. 2 to 3 hours a day is more than enough to sustain Financial Samurai. So by going to work, I'm basically optimizing my hours for maximum return. 7, more appreciation for family. You know, they say distance makes the heart grow fonder. I totally believe that. Think about all the times in the past where you haven't seen your loved one for months and months and months. And when you finally see them, you know, you can talk for hours. You really love them. You hug them. You kiss them. But if you're with someone 24 hours a day, you know, you'll naturally take that person for granted no matter how much you try not to. And that's kind of sad. So by being gone most of Monday through Friday, I think I'll appreciate my weekends more with the family. And I think conversely, my family will appreciate me more. It's just a natural thing. You know, my wife will be more independent. She'll gain more confidence with me away. And I think finally, my son might miss me more and be more excited to see me and want to spend time with me. And then finally, the most obvious benefit of going back to work is financial relief. You get paid. And, you know, you get benefits, most notably healthcare benefits. I was looking at how much we spend on health insurance as a self-employed family, and that number is $1,625 a month. That is crazy. That is so much money for two relatively healthy folks who are not overweight, who have no pre-existing conditions, nothing. And then we pay another $120 a month for dental. So we're talking $1,745 a month just for health insurance and dental insurance. I think it would be really nice to work at a job that provides a healthy paycheck and some benefits. You know, kids nowadays are making 100 grand right out of college. So hopefully someone like me might be able to make more and not have to do as much work. Ah, let's see what happens. But if I'm going to stay in San Francisco, man, the cost of living here is just going to continue going up, and it would be nice to have another source of income. So the key really is to find the right, quote, vacation job. And that really means not working really in startup land or banking or management consulting, which requires a lot of travel. Instead, I think a vacation job is one that's at a huge organization where profits are plentiful. The larger the organization, the smaller your impact. And given management has lower expectations of you and has so much money, your stress will probably be much lower as well. You know, at a startup, one bad move could be disaster for the company. It could put you out of business because there probably are no profits. You know, organizations that have long-term objectives instead of quarterly objectives are also wonderful. I think working for a small cap public company is probably going to be the worst because they'll always be wondering which gorilla will launch a competing product and eat their lunch. Like think about Snapchat, for example. You know, I can't believe it's still around because Facebook can just crush them so easily. Conversely, working at a large private organization could be just the solution. And I know vacation job seems like a misnomer. Who the hell is going to offer someone a vacation job or have a vacation job ready to be filled? What I really mean is a job that you can basically do in your sleep, still get paid, have an impact, have some fun, and be relieved of your duties as a stay-at-home parent for 40 to 60 hours a week so you can actually settle down and not have a breakdown. You know, this is about doing something new after 2 years of full-time parenthood. And everybody's vacation job will be different. You just have to figure out what works for you based on your skill set. My skill set, I think maybe venture capitalist could be good. You get paid well. You don't have to risk any of your money. Work is reasonable in terms of the hours. You don't even have to build a business. You don't even need knowledge, firsthand experience on building a business based on all the venture capitalists that I see. You get to attend a lot of social functions, and you aren't judged on your performance until the end of the fund's life, which is oftentimes 10 years long, right? So if you make all the bad decisions, you can make tons of money in terms of your base salary and all that. And then after 10 years, if your investments suck, hey, you already made your money. Let's see, quant fund manager. Literally all you have to do is press a button and make sure your algorithms are working. 3, index fund manager. That is amazing job. Your job is simply to stay on top of the movements of a particular index that your fund is mimicking. So for example, if you have an index fund that is mimicking the S&P 500 and they decide to boot out Apple Computer, you know, it was a 10% weighting, now it's a 0% weighting, and replace it with some other company, all you got to do is sell your position in Apple and replace it with that other company. You're just literally following someone else and earning a fee. What else could be interesting? Sports broadcaster. I think that's quite nice. It'd be amazing to be a sideline reporter for every single major, let's say, tennis open there is. You know, I can easily watch tennis for 8 hours a day and talk about tennis for another 4 hours if necessary. And I've done that before. And then finally, I think an interesting job would be to be an advisor or a board member of a financial technology startup. You know, I've built my own startup. I know how to grow a company without much money, actually no money at all. And I'm really connected in the industry after writing about personal finance since 2009 and living in San Francisco since 2001. So those are my vacation job ideas. I'd love to know if you have a vacation job or what you think the ideal vacation job is. Because by planning a year in advance, I think I'll be able to tailor my resume accordingly. Really, I just want to hear from you guys whether you have the best job on earth that you'd actually do for free or you can do it in your sleep. And I also want to know from folks on how they're able to manage transitioning out of full-time parenthood and back into the work environment. This is a really interesting dynamic that I'm trying to figure out myself. And how do I overcome the guilt of not being a full-time parent when I can be? So I'm thinking that point is at 2.5 years old or 3 years old when he can go to preschool, and at the very latest, 5 years or 6 years old when he can go into kindergarten. Thanks everybody for listening, and I'd love to hear from all of you on your perspective about vacation jobs and taking a break from full-time parenthood. Thanks so much.